This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. Father John Deere is an internationally known author, activist, and teacher of peace and nonviolence. He has been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize by Archbishop Desmond Tutu and former Maryland Senator Barbara Mikulski. He has traveled the world preaching a message of nonviolence and has worked with Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Daniel and Philip Berrigan, Coretta Scott King, and many others. Father Deere holds two master's degrees in theology from the Graduate Theological Union in California and has taught at Fordham University. A former Jesuit, he now serves as a priest of the Diocese of Monterey, California. 3 years ago, Father Deere founded the online project, the Beatitude Center for the Nonviolent Jesus, which offers free podcasts, videos, and other resources on nonviolence. Father Deere is the author of more than 30 books, including his newest release, The Gospel of Peace, a commentary on Matthew, Mark, and Luke from the perspective of nonviolence. Father Deere was also recently in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, where he gave a retreat on following the nonviolent Jesus at the Bon Secours Spiritual Center in Marriottsville. So, Father John, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thanks for having me, George, and thank you for all the great good work you do.
Oh, thank you. So you've dedicated so much of your life to the message of nonviolence and living the peace that it's called for in the gospel. What inspired you on this path? What was the spark?
Well, I'll try. You know, I had no intention of doing any of this. I'm from Maryland and went to Georgetown Prep out in Rockville and went to Duke University to get away from the church in the 70s. And long story short, one day I got knocked off the fraternity bar stool and decided I saw the light and I had to give my whole life to Jesus. And that meant, well, I guess I'll have to become a Jesuit. And my parents were not that pleased with that and asked me to wait a year or two. So I worked for a year. And before I entered the Jesuits up in Pennsylvania near Reading, I flew off to hitchhike in Israel for 3 months to see where Jesus lived. When I told my mother that, she thought, oh my God, it's worse than we realized. And the week I left, Israel invaded Lebanon. George, this was the summer war of 1982, and it was all orchestrated at the Pentagon, and they killed 60,000 people in 3 months. So all the Holy Land tours were canceled. I went over on an empty airplane with just a Bible. In fact, I did hitchhike through Israel, and my goal was to go to the Sea of Galilee, and it was there while camping out and walking up and visiting the chapel of the Beatitudes. It was a hot Wednesday afternoon. Now imagine, the whole area is empty, and I'm standing in the chapel of the Beatitudes for the first time in my life. I see the Beatitudes. They're written on the walls of the church. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those persecuted for working for justice. And I was overwhelmed. I thought, you know, I was going to be a nice, pious priest. And I thought, oh my God, this is the job description. He actually wants us to live the Beatitudes, which I had never thought about in my whole life. And I walked out in the on the balcony looking out over the Sea of Galilee. And I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll live and work on the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount for the rest of my life. I'll try to be a peacemaker and love my enemies, but you got to give me a sign, which was very goofy, and I was a dopey kid. But all of a sudden, there were these loud explosions, and three massive Israeli jets fell from the sky, breaking the sound barrier, setting off sonic booms, and they swooped down over the Sea of Galilee, over my head, over the Chapel of Beatitudes, and dropped a whole bunch of bombs 15 miles away on the border of Lebanon. And I said to myself, right, I'll get with the program. And the next day I walked up to the border, which was very stupid, but I saw war. And I always think back on that moment, like for a split second, I opened my eyes thinking God might appear, you know? But instead, what I saw was the reality of the world, which is brothers and sisters killing brothers and sisters all over the planet, even in the name of God, even in the name of Jesus, even at the place where he said, blessed are the peacemakers and love your enemies. I invite you to reflect on it with me, George, because it changed my life. And, you know, when I say I opened my eyes, that had been going on for the whole time I was there. And who cares about war? The jets had been flying around, but I was oblivious because I'm following Jesus. No, you wasn't following Jesus. He wants us to stop the killing and to actually put active love, universal love, into practice. And he is serious about this. And so I've spent my whole life, literally since that day in 1982, trying to live and teach and practice the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and the gospel, which I think comes down to a Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Dorothy Day teaching of nonviolence, being nonviolence. So that's what happened to me. By the way, it was a big setback for my parents and the Jesuits because I wasn't a pious priest, as you see. I've been out causing trouble ever since.
In your study of what Jesus has to say about nonviolence, what have you learned and what do you think people don't understand about his message? I mean, we typically hear about turning the other cheek, but it's sort of like background noise for a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't think we hear anything about it. I don't think we hear about turning the other cheek or the Beatitudes or anything these days. That's why I always say, and this gets me in trouble, don't read the Bible anymore. Just read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every day for the next 30 years and get back to me. Because we've lost Jesus, and not to mention his teachings of nonviolence or I call it universal love, universal compassion, universal peace. So I've been studying them every day my whole life now, over 40 years, and met all the great peacemakers. And that's why I wrote my new book. This is a big, massive commentary. It had to do, George, with the pandemic. You know, it came and I always felt called to do this. So what I did was it's a commentary and you don't have them anymore. But I went through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and I wrote about every sentence in the Gospels showing how Jesus is more nonviolent than Gandhi and Dr. King. Well, I'm learning tons, and it's my fifth or sixth book just on Jesus. So Gandhi said Jesus was the greatest person of nonviolence in the history of the world, which to me is shocking coming from the great Hindu. And I read that then when I got back from Israel and, you know, 40 years ago. But then Gandhi goes on and says, and the only people who don't know that Jesus is nonviolent are Christians. So I've been trying to explore, was Jesus violent or nonviolent? And I come to the conclusion with Gandhi that if Jesus is violent, forget him, because we're all experts on violence. If Gandhi and Martin Luther King are right, that he's the epitome of nonviolence, and therefore we could unpack a theology and spirituality of nonviolence, now we're getting somewhere. Everything Jesus taught is total nonviolence. And everything he did is building a movement of nonviolence like Gandhi and King, teaching people how to live nonviolently, even then to the point of marching to Jerusalem like Gandhi and King, turning over tables and civil disobedience in the temple, doing it totally nonviolently. Well, you're going to be arrested and tortured and killed if you do that. And he goes to his death even more nonviolent. And by the way, his last words to the church in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I'll end on this, his last words to his friends around him who go to kill to try to defend him are, put down the sword. They never understood Jesus, just as we never understood him. And I think that's the first time they understood how deadly serious it is that we don't kill. We have nothing to do with war, killing anymore. And so they all run away from him. Eventually, they come back and get with the program. And that's what I'm interested in helping us to all do.
Just a few weeks ago, we had an assassination attempt on a former president of the United States. We've had someone take a hammer to the husband of the former speaker. We have these incidents of shooting, mass shootings all the time. What is at the heart of that that causes that kind of anger and violence?
Well, that's what I've been writing about for 40 years in my books and all my talks. For one thing, we're really sick as a country now. We're really addicted to violence. And we're so used to violence and death and brainwashed after thousands of years, not just us, but the whole human race, that war is normal, that violence in response to violence is the only way to end violence. And Jesus said, an eye for an eye only makes the whole world blind, as Gandhi translated. So therefore, offer no violent resistance to one who does evil. But actually, if you want to know what is at the heart of it, I think the church has failed to teach the nonviolence of Jesus since Constantine. The early church was a community of total nonviolence. You couldn't be part of the Roman Empire, the military, and it was an illegal movement. But then that changed, of course, in the year 300. So we've been having the just war and crusades, and now we bless the troops, and we all have guns, and we all go to church as if this is normal, following this totally nonviolent person. So therefore, I've explored this question, and in a nutshell, I'll answer it and say, it comes down to who are we, our fundamental identity. In this culture, you're told you're a good American, or you're a Republican or a Democrat. Or you're a Russian, or you're Israeli, or a Palestinian. We're all told these things, and we go right along with it. Jesus says, you're the sons and daughters of the God of peace. Therefore, you're a peacemaker. Love your enemies, then you're really sons and daughters of the God who lets the sun rise on the good and the bad. So our fundamental identity is to be children of a God of peace and universal love. A God of nonviolence. That's the scandal of the gospel. And that's the deep conversion we all need to undergo. Do we really believe in that God? And do we really want to claim our identity as sons and daughters of God? Friends, I'm saying that's the only game in town. It's the only thing worth pursuing. We need something more than this country and this world of violence. Let's follow Jesus and reclaim our identities. What do you think of that, George?
Pretty challenging.
I didn't make it up, George. It's right there in the Beatitudes.
Well, we're going to take a little break. Our guest today is Father John Deere. He's an internationally known author, activist, and teacher of peace and nonviolence. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about how we can apply some of these principles in our everyday life. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. We'll be back in a moment.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Baltimore City Police confirmed that after more than a year, they have made an arrest and an assault of two elderly pro-life activists outside a downtown Planned Parenthood center. In a July 31st email, Detective Freddie Talbert of the Baltimore Police Department Public Affairs Office said City Police arrested Patrick Price, 27, July 1st, for the assault of two men in the 300 block of North Howard Street, May 26th, 2023. An arrest warrant was originally issued June 5, 2024, for Bryce. Bryce has been charged with first-degree felony assault, two counts of second-degree assault, and two counts of assault on elderly 65 and older. After his arrest, he was released without bail on his own recognizance July 2nd. He's being represented by the Baltimore City Public Defender's Office. 84-year-old Dick Schaefer and 73-year-old Mark Crosby were attacked outside the Planned Parenthood Center on North Howard Street. The Planned Parenthood building shares a wall with Options at 328, a pro-life pregnancy resource center operated by the Center for Pregnancy Concerns and supported by the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Pro-life advocates regularly pray on the sidewalk in front of the centers and distribute small bags that contain information on pregnancy resources, details about the unborn, and snacks. Schaefer, one of the men assaulted on North Howard Street, said he and Crosby returned to their post outside the abortion center less than a week after the incident that sent Crosby to shock trauma at the University of Maryland Medical Center with severe head injuries. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Every Christian, but especially seminarians, should set aside their screens regularly and spend time with a book of literature or poetry, Pope Francis said. The Pope made his comments in an August 4th letter on the role of literature in formation. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
Have a burning question about the Catholic Church? Curious about faith, traditions, current issues, or ways of deepening your spiritual life? Now's your chance to ask a bishop. Call in to Catholic Review Radio and leave a recording of yourself asking a question for our special guest, Baltimore Auxiliary Bishop Adam J. Parker. Whether it's about the sacraments, church teaching, or everyday faith, no question is too big or too small. Your question may be featured on an upcoming episode of Catholic Review Radio with Bishop Parker. Dial 443-263-0230 now to ask your question. Don't miss out, your voice matters. Again, that's 443-263-0230. And be on the lookout for our special Ask a Bishop episode coming soon.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. We're talking today with Father John Deere, an internationally known author, activist, and teacher of peace and nonviolence. Father Deere is the author of a newly released book, The Gospel of Peace, a commentary on Matthew, Mark, and Luke from the perspective of nonviolence. Father John, how do we apply these principles of nonviolence that we read about in the gospel in our everyday lives?
It's such a great question, George. So long ago, Gandhi takes this clumsy word from Hinduism and Jains, nonviolence. And what does it mean? But he and Martin Luther King talked about that every day of their lives. And they're basically just talking about love. The agape love of Jesus, which is universal love for every human being on the planet, seeing that every human being on the planet is your very sister or brother, so you can't hurt anyone, much less kill them or prepare to bomb them or nuke the planet, you know what I mean? Or let them people starve. So it's active love pursuing the truth of our common unity, right? Reconciling with every human being, letting God disarm our hearts to be instruments of God's disarming love. And practicing every day from now on universal unconditional love toward every human being, finding God in every human being. And but it has a bottom line. There is no cause for which I will ever support the taking of a single human life. We don't kill. We don't kill people who kill. We don't kill people who kill to show that you shouldn't kill people who kill. Mm-hmm. We give our lives to stop the killing as Jesus did. And he died unarmed and nonviolent. And if you want to follow this guy, I'm just saying we all have to grow up and become like Gandhi and Dorothy Day and Dr. King. So the question then is, how do we do it? And that's what I've been struggling at, because we're like everybody. I'm a violent person, raised in a culture of violence, trying to become nonviolent like Jesus. Okay, so I got a little motto, George, and I wrote a whole book on it that people can get, or they can check it out on my website, which is johndeere.org. The book is called The Nonviolent Life. And I was asked this question so many times. Here's my answer, that this trying to live ordinary daily nonviolence requires three simultaneous things, okay? Mm-hmm. It's easy to remember. Number one, to be totally nonviolent to yourself from now on. Well, how do you do that? Because we all beat ourselves up and we're mean and violent to ourselves. And I'm saying non-cooperate with your own inner violence. Don't beat yourself up. Make peace with yourself. Let go of any roots of violence inside you. That's why we need God. We turn to prayer. We surrender our violence and our anger and our hurts and our wounds and bitterness and resentment. Surrender it all to God. Let God give you the gift of peace and begin the process of an inner disarmament and making peace with yourself and peace with God. And by the way, it's a lot more fun living a more peaceful life and not beating yourself up. Okay, secondly, while you're working on inner nonviolence, number two, you practice meticulous nonviolence toward every human being on the planet and all the creatures and Mother Earth. How's that going for you, George? So you laugh and you go, well, that's crazy. No, that's the spiritual life. Now, so you can go, well, I'm a nice person. I'm generally nonviolent. Okay. Who are the people who push your buttons? Who's the one or two or three most difficult person in your life? And I think the gospel says, that most difficult person is your guru. It's your spiritual guide, because they're showing you how violent you are, and you want to follow Jesus, so you get to practice being nonviolent to them, whether it's a parent or child, a neighbor, or your boss, or the president, or a priest, somebody. Whoever it is who pushes your buttons, you get to go and practice. How do I get to figure out, I'm not going to respond when a harsh thing is said to me, but I'm not going to be passive. See, the gospel says, in the face of violence, the world has taught us we can run away and do nothing, or we can fight back with violence. And Jesus says, there's a third way where you don't run away, but you engage your opponent with love, and you allow God to disarm both your hearts. That's what we're talking about. Okay, while you're working on interpersonal nonviolence and learning to be more nonviolent to the creatures in Mother Earth, finally, number three, you also have to have one foot in the global grassroots movement of nonviolence movements, working for justice, creation, the poor, and for peace. Oscar Romero said, nobody can do everything, but everybody's got to do something. And that the only way the world change happens in world history, from Jesus to Gandhi to Martin Luther King to all the movements today, is bottom-up, grassroots, people power movements. That's how change happens. It never happens top-down. And Jesus started a movement. Look at Luke 10. He sends the 72 ahead of him. And that's just like Gandhi and Dr. King. That's what I'm getting at. That's why I've been involved in the anti-war and anti-nuclear movement. I just say, if you're not involved, pick a cause that's close to your heart and put in tithe some of your time. Otherwise, we're just sitting back and working on ourselves, and that's not the gospel. We all have to get involved in the world. And maybe that means going to meetings with your local environmental group, working to end housing, homelessness, or racism in Baltimore or D.C., working to end global poverty. There's tons of good groups, getting with Pax Christi, the official Catholic peace movement, and so forth and so on. There's so many good groups. Pick one, get involved, and then you're part of the global movement. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that helps. I could talk also about daily prayer and contemplation and needing to make friends in the movement. And but everything at the Mass and the sacraments is to send us forth to live nonviolently like Jesus, and to do our part to welcome God's reign of peace and nonviolence.
One of the things that the Archdiocese of Baltimore is doing this summer is sponsoring a gun buyback for the city. And it's the second year in a row that they've done that. And actually, I think it's probably going to be double in size of what it was last year. What kind of impact do those kinds of activities have in reducing
violence? Huge. I'm about to give a keynote speech at a national church faith-based anti-gun violence conference in a couple of weeks. And I've been thinking about that. You know, there are more guns than people in the United States. What's the statistic? 30,000 people killed by guns in the United States. We're all obsessed thinking that that's the our constitutional right and all. Well, I'm just saying, what does the nonviolent Jesus want us to do? And guns don't work. And they're too dangerous to have in a house full of kids. And meanwhile, you have to go through all this stuff to get a driver's license or to put a foundation. You should have to get through something to buy an AK-47 or a Glock 19. You can't just walk down the street, as you can in many places, and buy one, which is insane. So what does the nonviolent Jesus want us to do? Everything, every step we can make to end violence is helpful. And if you believe in the God of peace, we just do our part down here, and God can use it to help bring about the change we all want. So there's many places, because I'm so involved in every state in the country, full time. I've been at this. I know everybody, it feels like. Many people are working on gun buybacks and actual gun disarmament projects. Like, literally, you turn in your guns and this group will hammer them while you're there into... A friend of mine last week showed me a rosary made out of wood. The beads were from gun handles that were turned in, George. Isn't that powerful? You see what, and I'm going to try to get it sent to Pope Francis. Well, all of that helps, because we all have to begin a whole process of discernment, getting rid of the guns, teaching people nonviolence, turning in guns without any being legal problems, and also, but more fundamentally, spiritually, learning how to be nonviolent like Jesus. So I love that the Archdiocese is doing that, and that's one of a million things we all need to be working at.
We have about 30 seconds left. How can people get a copy of your book?
Oh, thank you. Well, my new book, The God of Peace, is available. All my books are available on Amazon, but it's published by Orbis Books, and they can get it there, along with a lot of my books. You can read about my writings and my books at www.johndeere.org. It's spelt funny. It's D-E-A-R, johndeere.org. Or my Zoom project, which has more about my books and free podcasts, which is beatitudecenter.org. That's beatitudecenter.org. Thanks for having me, George.
Great. Thank you so much for being here, Brother John. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbell.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.